Jerry, thanks for letting me share with you guys today. I'm excited to finish this series that we started out of Romans chapter 12. I'm going to read verses 1 through 8, and then we're also going to look at the passage that Jerry had read earlier in Ephesians chapter 4 later in the sermon. So please join with me in Romans chapter 12. This is the verse, chapter 1 is the verse, kind of the theme verse of our series that Jerry's been preaching on the last few weeks. So we're going to read that and then the continuing verses after that. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. That's the passage that we're going to be looking at today. And it really does talk a lot of us being together on mission. And that is the sermon title today, Together on Mission, us working together. Will you please join me in prayer as we begin? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time that we can share together. Thank you for your word that instructs us. Thank you for each person in this room that we gather together as the body of Christ. Send us out to do your work, to do your ministry, and to bring glory to your name, Lord Jesus. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Christmas season is now upon us, whether you like it or not. Thanksgiving is officially over, and so at our Justice household growing up, as soon as Thanksgiving was over, we could now begin celebrating Christmas. If we tried to celebrate Christmas before Thanksgiving, that was not allowed. We could not do any Christmas songs or Christmas music before that. Some of you guys have been celebrating Christmas since Halloween, but for us, it doesn't really start until after Thanksgiving. So yesterday, we introduced Ezra to the classic movie Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, like the old one, right? So he actually watched a good chunk of it. But as we were watching it, it just reminded me, the story's all about Rudolph being the misfit, and he comes together with other misfits, and they end up kind of saving the day, and they're all using their gifts and talents together. But what's really interesting at the very beginning, of course, Rudolph is kind of kicked out. He's not allowed to play any reindeer games. And then he starts to wander off on his own, and he comes across Hermie the elf. And Hermie is an elf who wants to be a dentist and doesn't want to make toys, and so he's kind of an outcast as well. And they meet each other, and Hermie tells Rudolph, "I'm independent." And then Rudolph says, "Oh, I'm independent too." And Hermie says, "Say, why don't we be independent together?" And there's something about that kind of it caught my attention. It made me laugh because we all kind of think that we can be independent, that we can do things on our own. But whether we want to admit it or not, we need each other. We need each other. And that's really what this passage in Romans is all about, is that together we make up the body of Christ, and it's our gifts serving together that we are that sacrifice. We're called to be a living sacrifice. And that sacrifice is made when we come together as the body of Christ, each one of us using our gifts. It's interesting, that he says to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. It's an interesting choice of words because sacrifices are messy. Sacrifices are painful. Sacrifice involves death. But that is exactly what Jesus came to earth to do. And in Mark chapter 10, he says, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to offer his life as a ransom for many." That's sacrifice. That was his whole purpose in coming. And as his body, as his believers, as his followers, we're called to continue that mission. We're called to continue to lay down our lives for others, lay down our lives for the kingdom of Christ. There was a really good quote that I heard when we think about how sacrifice involves death, and this is the quote, I want to read it to you. "Live for your eulogy, not your resume. Live for your eulogy, not your resume." You see, death helps us keep things in perspective. It helps us keep our priorities in line. We're called to live for Christ and to lay down our lives as he did for others. And how are we to do that? Well, the rest of this chapter, in chapter 12 of Romans, he goes on to describe what this looks like as we lay down our lives together, as we are a living sacrifice. And the first thing that he talks about is using our gifts, that we are one body, we have different gifts, and we're to use them together. What's really interesting about the gifts that he describes is if you look at these gifts, and he just lists a partial list. There's so many more that he could list, but he's just giving you an example here in Romans. All of these gifts of service, Jesus himself did. Jesus prophesied. Jesus gave. Jesus led. Jesus showed mercy. All of those things are what Jesus did. And we're just continuing to do his ministry, but we're doing it together on mission. So our two points today is together we achieve Jesus' mission more effectively, and then the second is together we are equipped for Jesus' mission more fully. It's when we're working together that Christ is most seen. So let me give you an illustration of what this looks like. When we are coming together, using our gifts, serving together. For about a year now, there's been a young lady that's been attending our youth group. She started attending when we brought her family a Thanksgiving dinner. It's something that we do every year as a youth group. We deliver Thanksgiving dinners. But it was a lot more than just a couple people doing this. It took many people's gifts, all at work, all of us serving. So the church provides us the finances for our youth budget. We couldn't have went out and bought Thanksgiving dinners unless you had been giving to the church. That's the one gift right there, giving. But then we also needed someone to lead the outreach, someone to organize it. I organized it. I talked with the school counselor who gave me names and families who were in need. That's the gift of leading that we saw in the passage. But then we also had to be able to get the kids to the different families to deliver the meals. And so our youth leaders drove the students to the different places. That's service. But then the youth themselves went into each home. Many places they were invited in and visited, and they encouraged them, offered to pray with folks. That's the gift of encouragement. It took all those gifts being used together, us all serving together to reach that young lady. And her life has been changed very greatly because of that. That's what the power of us coming together does. It shows Christ more fully to the world. It allows us to do ministry and to serve in ways that we couldn't do by ourselves. We need each other. We need to be using our gifts together. So what gift has God given you that Christ is asking you to use? I think it's really interesting in all the different movies about Jesus' life, right? They usually portray him, you know, with long hair, you know, the beard. He's usually a white dude, and he's usually kind of skinny and really slender. But I always imagined Jesus being a lot more muscular because he was a carpenter. And not only that, but we know he went into the temples and he flipped these huge tables over. He had to be somewhat strong, right? The Jesus of the Bible was not a wimp. He was powerful in his love. He walked through a crowd that wanted to throw him over a cliff. Just walked right through them. He casts out demons. He healed the sick and the lame. He calmed the storm with a word. He laid down his very life and gave himself over to torture. That is not a weak, scrawny person. We are to carry out Jesus' ministry. How does the world see Jesus now, today? That was what they saw when he was here on earth. But how does the world see Jesus today? They see him through his people. They see Jesus through us, through our service. Do they see a scrawny, weak Jesus? Or do they see a Jesus that is powerful and loving and serving and changing lives? When we come together and we're using our gifts, that is what they will see. But it's when we do that together and all of our gifts are in motion that we see a powerful Jesus. There's a quote by William Toms. He says, "Be careful how you live. You will be the only Bible some people ever read." But I want to change that a little bit, and I want to say, be careful how you live. You will be the only Jesus some people ever see. Have you ever thought about that? You represent Jesus. And for people who don't know anything about him, when they see you, that's the impression of Jesus that they get. That's kind of scary if you think about it. Because we all know our failures, our faults. And on our own, we can't possibly hope to represent Jesus fully. We can't possibly hope to represent his power, his service, his qualities. But together, Jesus is seen more fully. We need one another. We need to be using our gifts together if we want to show Jesus and if we want to be effective in ministering to others. Have you ever noticed that Jesus always kept his disciples with him? And even when he sent them out in pairs. They were not alone. When Paul traveled on his missionary journeys, he went with a group of other disciples. Jesus has always intended his followers to be together, to minister, and to be on mission. We need one another. What gifts has Christ given you? What gifts have Christ given you? And are you going to use them for him, for his mission? I want to put a few questions up on the screen. And in a few moments, we're going to play a song, and we're going to give you a few minutes, and I want you to take your connection card, and on the back of your connection card is this really nice little space to write. It's kind of small, so if you want to just spread it all over the card, as long as we can read it, that's okay. But I want you to actually write your answer on the back of this card. And Jerry and I are going to read these cards. But the first question is, what gifts, talents, skills, resources? What is it that Jesus has given you to serve him? And I want you to think outside of the box, okay? It's so easy for us to think only in the church mindset, right? Where, if I'm not a teacher, I can't do that for Sunday school. Let's see, what other gifts can I use? Think outside of what we currently do. It doesn't have to be something that we're already doing ministries or programs in. What gifts, what uniqueness has Christ given you? That's the first thing I want you to think through. The second one is, how can you use those gifts in our church? And the third one is, how can our church help you use those gifts in your everyday life and in our community? So I'm asking you to do a little brainstorming here, okay? So I'm going to ask the ladies to play, they're going to play a song in the background, And you guys, just spend some time writing down your answers, and when it's done, we'll pick back up again. So if you still need more time, you can keep working on it, okay? It's all right. We'll collect it at the very end of the service. But I want you guys to be thinking of those things. Every person here has a gift, and it is valuable, and it is needed, and we need to be working together. Quick little side note. Just because you're using your gift, that's not where it ends. It's also how you use your gift. At the very end of the verses there in Romans, Paul discusses how we should use our gifts. He says that we should use them generously, diligently, and cheerfully. See, I could do the dishes for Elena, but if I'm complaining the whole time, she's not going to feel very loved, and I might as well have not even done them. Right, husbands, right? The wife is not going to appreciate it. But if I do it with a cheerful attitude, she will feel loved. She will feel blessed. So be thinking, as you're using your gift, how are you using it? Are you using it diligently? Are you using it generously and cheerfully? So Jesus gives us gifts of service so that we can accomplish his mission more effectively, but he also gives us gifts of servants that will equip us to do his mission more effectively. And that's where in Ephesians chapter 4, if you have your Bible, you can kind of look back at that. Jerry read that earlier. It says that he gave, in verse 11 of chapter 4, it says that Christ gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for the works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up. He gave those roles in our church to build each member up so that we can serve more effectively. We need those people. And I'm going to give a brief summary of the roles. Now, I'm not talking about official positions. I'm not talking about having a title after your name. I'm talking about the role that this person, the servant, holds in our church. Because some people say, hear apostle, they're like, whoa, what's he mean by apostle? Right? We don't talk a lot about apostles, but you know what apostle means? Apostle means sent one. It means messenger. That's what apostle means. So an apostle is someone who goes into new frontiers, who can translate the gospel into new contexts. The Bible doesn't ever use the word missionary, but this would be kind of a good idea. That's that idea of missionary and networking and communicating the gospel. That's what apostle is. And of course, we have the prophet, the role of prophet, someone who gives insight into God's perspective, very concerned about God's holiness and what God's word says. They're good at giving foresight, of giving knowledge for the present in view of the future. Then there's the evangelist, of course, proclaiming the gospel. This person is good at recruiting and mobilizing others and serving and reaching the lost around them. And then there's the pastor. Their job is to build and defend the community of believers, caring, comforting, counseling. That's the idea there. And then teacher. This person transfers knowledge and lifestyle. It's not just a head thing, it's a heart thing as well. It's discipleship as well as just education. That's a brief summary of what I mean when we're talking about these roles in the church. And we need each of these roles if we're going to be healthy, if we're going to be mature, if we're going to be full in Christ. Why did Jesus give these servants to the church? He answers that for you. The first thing here Paul says is to equip his people. And that word equip means to perfect, to complete, to fully furnish something. I just recently worked on putting in a new countertop and a sink and all these different things. And I realized that you need certain tools to be able to get the job done. Thankfully, I knew different people who had tools to help me get that done. That idea of equipping is that idea of having the tool for the project, having the right tools to get the project done. That's what these people do. They equip us to do the ministry of Christ. They also are there to make us mature in Jesus. Maturity is measured by how much Jesus is in his people. How much your attitude, your actions, your words look like Jesus. That shows your maturity. And we're more mature when we have multiple people discipling us and mentoring us. If you've only ever had a teacher mentor you, you'll be really good at teaching, but you might be weak on evangelism. You might be weak at pastoring. We need all those roles functioning if we're going to be healthy. And once again, you don't have to have the title pastor to be able to operate in that role in this church and to use that gift. We need all of those working together. There's a chart that I want to show you that kind of shows what a healthy-looking dynamic looks like versus what an average church kind of looks like here. It's kind of a helpful little graph. Right? So most churches in America are really heavy on their teaching in their church. It's really structured around that. The idea of apostle functioning in their church, some it's not even existent. The prophetic ministry is usually not real strong. Evangelism typically not real strong in most churches. And then the pastoral care, that's usually a pretty strong area. But notice how lopsided the graph is. It's not well balanced. The idea is that we want all of those roles functioning to be healthy, be strong. And I purposely did this. If you notice, the teaching one is still high. You can still be really strong in an area, but still be more balanced. And as a church, we want to be using all of those roles so that we can be a strong church that can do ministry using the gifts that God has given us. We need everyone serving. We need everyone functioning in the roles that God has placed them in. And I'd also encourage you to consider your own life. If you were going to do that graph for yourself, where would you be strong and where would you be weak? I really would encourage you to do that. And then, based off of that, look around the church and find out who is strong in your weakness and get to know that person, right? So if I'm weak in evangelism, I should look around the church and find someone who is strong in evangelism and let them rub off on me and teach me and mentor me. If we were all doing that, then we become more like Christ. We're more full in our relationship with Christ. Because if you take a look at all five of these roles, Jesus fulfilled all five of these roles. That's who he was. He was sent by the Father, sent one, apostle, right? He prophesied. He was the good news, and he shared the good news. He shepherded his people, he pastored them, and he was known as one of the best teachers ever. He fulfills all those roles. And when all those roles are active in our church, we're going to look a lot more like Jesus. We're going to be a lot more equipped to do his ministry and do his work. I've had many different people in my life pour into me in different ways, and they all brought a different gift, and they all influenced me in different ways. We need to be looking for people to disciple and for people to disciple us. That's when Christ's body is strong. That's when we will do his mission more powerfully. I want to end with a story. It's about, many of you might have heard this story before, but it's about six blind men who go and they've never seen or heard or felt an elephant before. And they find this elephant, and the first one reaches out and he touches the side of the elephant and he feels how solid it is and smooth, and he says, "Oh, an elephant must be like a wall." And the next one reaches out and he feels the trunk of the elephant and he feels it's round and it can bend, and he says, "Oh, an elephant must be a lot like a snake." And the other one reaches out and feels the tusk and he feels how sharp it is. "An elephant must be like a spear." The other one reaches out, feels the tail. "An elephant must be like a rope." Reaches out, another one reaches out and feels the leg. "An elephant must be a lot like a tree trunk." And they all come up with these different conclusions. And then they begin arguing with each other about what an elephant really is. And finally someone yells out, "It is a large animal. You have to put all of it together for you to know what an elephant is." And by ourselves, we only show a small portion of who Jesus is. When we are serving and we're operating together, people see the full picture of who Jesus is. They experience the full power of who Jesus is. That's why we need each other. And that's why we need to be working and doing Christ's ministry together. Each one of us using our gifts. Each one of us walking in the roles that he's designed us for. Brothers and sisters, the world is blind to who Jesus is and what he does. Only by working together can the fullness of Jesus be experienced. I want to end with these last verses in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. It says, "We will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for the gifts in this room, the talents, the resources, the roles that you've given us as servants. May we use them together to show who you are to this lost world, that we would bring in the lost, the unbelieving, give them hope, give them salvation in your name, Lord Jesus. Make us united. May we be discipling and being discipled within this church. that we can express the fullness of Christ. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.